This is the Humboldt Chronicles.
I am the queen of everything. Gotta be high before I can sway. Light a tea and let it be. If you a viper.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by Humboldt Patient Resource Center, Eco Groovy Deals, Sonoma Lab Works, and the Humboldt County Collective. Thanks. We could not do it without you. The question for this hour, should we formally add weed to the list of trees, beaches, rivers, mountains, trails, and more, all the things that attract tourists to Humboldt County? As it turns out, there's not an easy answer available. Instead, it's one of those situations where you put the pros and cons on the scales, do some weighing, and see which way things tilt. First things first, are we sure that there's a market for cannabis tourism in Humboldt County? We asked Eureka City Councilman Austin Allison and Eureka's Director of Development Services, Rob Homeland. First, Councilman Austin Allison.
I think there's definitely a market. Perhaps it might be niche and interesting to just a few people, but I think it's an interest nonetheless. You know, nowadays there's all kinds of tours available for other industries, specifically the wine industry, just a few hours south of us. And you know, I think a lot of people who may use or not use cannabis products are curious to see how things are actually cultivated and developed and processed into consumable goods. You know, to think about the funding or how much revenue cannabis tourism can bring in. I've been trying to look into the tourism data just for Napa in the wine industry, just because perhaps it's the closest thing I can relate this cannabis tourism industry to. And I think from the numbers I was finding was that only 25% of the money that's spent in the wine industry for Napa is actually people buying the wine. About 75% of it comes from people visiting, going out to eat, spending times in hotels, things like that. That's where the real money comes from. So for instance, people might visit a vineyard or two, but they're also staying at their hotels and going and seeing other sites. It's just part of the trip to Napa.
If we look at all of the employment in the city of Eureka, medical is the largest sector of employment in the city, and tourism is the second largest. So you're talking about a pretty wide swath of people, and there are a lot of subcategories of tourism. And so cannabis tourism is or could be one of the subsectors of tourism. So I think to answer your question, you know, do we look at cannabis tourism differently than tourism? We look at all different kinds of tourism. So some people come to our region just to go to the Redwoods, and they just want to stay in Eureka for a night and eat breakfast here, and then they're on their way. Some people come specifically for Eureka. They want to see Old Town and our architecture. Some people come for the zoo, the Blue Ox, the botanical gardens. Some people are water adventurers, and so they want to kayak on the bay. Other people are going to be cannabis tourists. Some people are really into breweries, and so there's a lot of different categories of tourism, and cannabis certainly can be one of them.
There are some examples to learn from. Let's remember that Amsterdam has had a nice long run as a cannabis tourism destination and seemed very happy to take the money, but recently has tapped the brakes on it just a bit. Jamaica, yes. Cannabis tourism has been lively there as well, but without lots of specific advertising, relying more on reputation and word-of-mouth recommendations among tourists. Then there's our neighbor, Canada. Cannabis is now legal nationwide there. Debate about cannabis tourism is ongoing there, politely, of course, which is the Canadian way. Here's a sample of the discussion going on in Canada right now. Some of this sound is courtesy of the CBC and the University of Waterloo.
How many milligrams do you want?
That's Canadian chef Travis Peterson. He hosts dinners that feature food infused with cannabis.
That's awesome.
The two oldest ladies in the building are both like, as much as you can give me, six hot. I'm a six.
He's hosted more than 1,000 of these dinners, which attract tourists from all over Canada and the United States.
We're not doing brownies and gummy bears and your traditional infused food. It's food that you would go out into a restaurant or have, you know, a chef come into your house and make.
He says he wants to continue seeing legal weed as an opportunity to expand his clientele by adding tourists to the locals. And it's the same all over Canada.
I want to see Toronto and smoke.
That is a tourist from Wisconsin in Toronto, seeing the Canadian cannabis sites with tour operator Neve Tapiri.
The tourism industry has to recognize that the demand is there. So they're cautious by nature. So I think they're going to have a wait and see approach.
To be sure, there are those who think individual provinces should take the reins and begin promoting cannabis tourism on their own. This is Dana Larson in British Columbia.
Our politicians are not promoting cannabis tourism or promoting BC's cannabis industry in the same way they will very readily promote BC's wine industry.
All of this, of course, begs the question, what is allowable in the marketing of cannabis tourism? Here's David Hammond, a professor of public health at the University of Waterloo near Toronto.
So the proposed regulations are to restrict cannabis advertising and promotion similar to tobacco. And so what that means is that it should only be communicated in adult-oriented venues. So that could be in a bar where you have to be, you know, 18 or 19, the same as the drinking age. It could be direct mail. And it can't be lifestyle-oriented or child or youth-oriented. So it should be based only on the information of the products. You know, Canada's been very explicit about the goal is not revenue generation. I mean, that will be a part of it, but it's about public health. And really, if you ask the question, well, what public health purpose does allowing that type of marketing serve? I can't think of any. You know, companies will still be able to compete with different branding, with different product characteristics, but as I said, it's very difficult just to promote product characteristics and not have that increase appeal of the product more generally. So this is a big experiment. There's support in Canada, but there's also a lot of skepticism. And so I think, you know, you can call it a precautionary approach, but we've certainly learned from tobacco that it's easier to loosen restrictions over time than it is to claw it back. And so I think it's a reasonable approach to be a little bit more conservative in terms of what types of advertising marketing to allow.
Of course, similar discussions are going on here. Eureka, for decades, was chipping in six figures worth of money each year to the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau and decided it wanted to see if it could get a better return on investment from another marketing entity, one that would craft messaging that is more Eureka-centric than Humboldt County-centric, and that includes information about the cannabis industry here. Recently, Larry asked Rob Holmland at the City of Eureka whether a disagreement regarding the marketing of cannabis tourism specifically led to a decision to restructure the city's marketing.
It certainly had an influence, but I would say that had that issue not come up, we still would have done what we did. So it wasn't the deciding factor, but it certainly was a part of the bigger conversation. City Council of Eureka has unanimously voted in favor of cannabis multiple times through different councils, even different elected officials. And so unanimously, the City of Eureka Council is in favor of us creating safe, legitimate legal cannabis businesses. If the organization that we are investing in to market Eureka refuses to recognize a portion of our business community, that's a problem. It was an additional problem on top of the fact that we felt like we needed to get some better return on our investment for what we were investing already. So it was just a component of the overall decision. Yeah. For many years, the city contracted with the Chamber of Commerce to operate a visitor center on Broadway in the Chamber of Commerce building. And the city was subsidizing that visitor center with over $100,000 a year. And the location wasn't ideal. Mostly what they were doing is maintaining a big room full of brochures. And we said, is there a way that we can take this $100,000 and spend it in a way that gets us a better return on our investment? So we sat down with members of the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, said we're exploring some new ideas, we're thinking about releasing a request for proposals so that we can see what other people would do with the same amount of money and perhaps bring even better visitor center experience to the tourists that come to Eureka. We released a request for proposals. The Chamber ultimately decided not to submit a proposal. And we got four or five proposals that all proposed some pretty remarkable ideas for a visitor center. We selected what we thought was the best one, and now we have a visitor center that's doing far more with the same amount of money than the previous visitor center. So we learned from that experience and realized that when we have a long-standing contract with an entity, it's good every once in a while to freshen things up. On the case of the Visitor Center, we actually strongly encouraged the Chamber to submit a proposal so that we could compare what they were doing against others, but they ultimately decided not to. And now the Chamber is doing new things. They're starting a business incubator, so while it was a little difficult for them at first, it actually became a really good thing for the Chamber of Commerce. When it comes to overall marketing strategy, we've been spending somewhere between close to $400,000 and $500,000 a year for decades with what was the Humboldt County Convention Visitors Bureau and then became the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau. And the name change came apart because the city said, hey, we are your primary funder. We are giving you more money than everything else combined. All of your marketing, all of your sales, everything else, we are by far the largest funder. Fortuna used to fund the Visitors Bureau. Ferndale did, Arcata did, all of the other jurisdictions dropped out except for the city of Eureka and the county of Humboldt. County of Humboldt's contribution was less than half of the city of Eureka. And so a couple of years ago, city manager and I sat down with the director of the Visitors Bureau and said, hey, we are the primary funder. We need more of an influence on the decisions you make and how you market Eureka, because it's not even really marketing Eureka specifically in any way. And their response was, there's nothing really to market specifically in Eureka. We market Redwoods, and you guys get the benefit of having some people stay in your hotels. We said, that might be fine from your perspective, but we're spending close to $500,000 a year. We want to see if we can get a better return on our investment. So we pushed for years with the Visitors Bureau to market Eureka better. Their website, Eureka had no special place on the website. When you looked for hotels on the Visitors Bureau's website, Arcata's hotels and Fortuna's hotels had the same level of value as Eureka's hotels. And so we said, we're just subsidizing the rest of the county. We're investing our money so that you can market Redwoods and the rest of the county. So we ultimately asked council, do you want to explore options for reinvesting our money into a different strategy so that we can get a better return on our investment? We're not just marketing because it's fun. We're marketing because we want to get money back on our investment. We want our businesses in Eureka to survive and to thrive. So, you know, private companies don't invest in marketing because they like it. They invest in marketing because they want people to buy their product. Eureka's investing in marketing because we want people to buy our product. And so we're exploring an entirely new strategy. And right now the request for proposals is still out, and proposals are due in early April.
Rob also talked about how the city is now beginning to collect statistical information on tourists who visit Eureka and says he's optimistic about the potential cannabis tourist draw.
We recently changed our approach to our visitor center. And so we have a visitor center now on the intersection of 3rd and G Streets. It's in the Clark Museum. And they see a lot of tourists come through their facility every day, especially in the summer. And they're collecting data in a way that we never had before. And so they're identifying where people are coming from, why they're coming here. And so we're on the precipice of having a good set of data to work with. But up to that point of starting that visitor center, we haven't really collected the kind of information that we should have been. We do estimate that it definitely can be a draw for both the region and for Eureka specifically. There are a number of new dispensaries in the works in Eureka. Up until recently, we didn't have dispensaries in city limits. We now have two operational cannabis retail facilities, several more on the way, probably beyond what the local market needs. So some portion of that cannabis retail is going to be satisfied by cannabis tourists, and we suspect that that will work out.
But a question that has to be asked is whether there would be some tourists who would avoid the area if cannabis is aggressively marketed. Responding to that, here again is Eureka City Councilman Austin Allison.
I remember pretty much every elected official, including the county supervisors, brought up to the EHVB, hey, could you guys include cannabis is part of your marketing ploy, and they were very resistant. And so, you know, we were a bit flummoxed and frustrated by their approach to it, because I think cannabis is becoming more and more accepted. Reefer madness, I feel, is slowly diminishing with people, and even if people don't consume it, they don't think it's a big deal. You know, like, I don't really drink much wine, but I might still check out a vineyard. But if, you know, saying, someone saying, hey, come to Napa and check out our grapes, And, you know, if I was a tourist who just wanted to go to Napa to maybe see some hot springs or something, you know, it wouldn't bother me in my messaging or deter me from coming to Napa just as much as, say, someone said, hey, check out the Redwoods, our cool art scene and niche industries that, and one of the industries is cannabis. It wouldn't deter me completely from heading to Humboldt at all to see what else Humboldt has to offer. I just think cannabis is just a piece of our economy here, but it's not so negative that it would deter me from coming at all. A Eureka-centric, Eureka-focused marketing plan is sort of what we're looking for. So yes, we have beautiful beaches and redwood trees to see, but while you're seeing those, here's how you can have more fun while you're here. And that fun could be in Eureka. You know, so come check out our art scene, come check out our niche manufacturing, things like that, where there's more to see in Eureka. You know, our idea is we don't want people to just stay for a day while they go and see the Redwoods. We want someone to stay for a few days and come check things out. Maybe they can come and check out, you know, the Friday night markets, or we're having, you know, the Salt and Sea Festival coming up, where we're having the tall ships come into our port here in Eureka. So let's try and promote cool activities that don't always have to rely on nature. And so that's sort of what we're trying to do to get a better return on our investment, because, you know, we're putting hundreds of thousands of dollars into tourism, but really it's to help promote and sustain our local businesses here. So if we're going to invest in tourism, we need people to stay longer and check out our wonderful restaurants and venues and places to enjoy being out on the town. Stay in Eureka while you're checking out the Redwoods, and maybe stay an extra day or two and really get to know everything there is about Eureka, because there's a lot of cool things here.
So let's assume that some number of tourists will be interested in Humboldt County's cannabis connection. Who are they? Where are they? And how do you reach them? We'll discuss that next. You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. If you're just joining us, in the first part of our discussion, we outlined Eureka's proposal to include cannabis as part of its tourist marketing campaign. This area, undeniably, has a reputation for world-class cannabis, and, in fact, some locals in the industry are banking on that reputation. Here again is Eureka City Councilman Austin Allison, who recently spoke to us about that very issue.
I know the City of Eureka, we're looking at putting out a request for proposal for a new marketing strategy for the City of Eureka. We sort of want a little bit of that strategy to include cannabis as one of our industries here. So, you know, I can imagine if someone were to come visit the City of Eureka, you know, they come here to see the Redwoods, the beautiful ocean, but also they can come and see some of the industries we have here, such as, you know, world-renowned chocolate, very good microbrews and beer, and, you know, some local cannabis industries we have here. I think just overall as a package, and if someone's staying here for a while, it's just one more thing to check out while they're here. If you know, they want to check out the Redwoods for the day and maybe come back to town and see maybe how salves are made or something like that.
Now to Eureka's Director of Development Services, Rob Holmland, who has some ideas about marketing inside California, outside California, and putting at least some of the focus on one particular generation.
Do we want to specifically target our marketing to Californians and just try to draw Californians here, or are we going to try to specifically target Germans or Japanese? Like, you know, what is our target audience? Right now, from the numbers that we know of, the majority of people that come to Eureka as tourists are California-based. But it is also the case that for the past several decades, the majority of all of our marketing efforts went into marketing in California. So we could have a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The reason, maybe, that we have the majority of our tourists coming from California is because the majority of the marketing we do is in California. And then we look at our numbers and we say, hey, the majority of our tourists are from California. We better spend our marketing dollars in California. And then it's just this self-fulfilling cycle that happens over and over again. And it's kind of a consequence, in my opinion, of some small thinking. So what we want in this new marketing approach is for a marketing specialist that is a world-class expert in marketing to help us think about who is our target audience, where should we be spreading our message? How should we be marketing ourselves? The millennial generation is now the largest generation to have ever existed in America. They're much larger even than the baby boomers. A lot of people don't realize that. Millennials are the up-and-coming generation. When you create brand loyalty for, you know, Coca-Cola, you know, they start with kids when they're young, right? They have Santa Claus in their advertising. If we're going to capture the next generation of professionals that are going to be going on vacation and spending money, it's time for us to start looking at how we're going to market to millennials. And whether they're California-based or New York-based, we'll find out what our marketing specialist recommends.
What if all of this works? Are we ready for an increase in tourism? Is the infrastructure to support cannabis tourism in place? Well, at a recent Eureka City Council meeting on February 5th, a representative from the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau addressed this question, saying that the local cannabis industry is not quite ready, and further, quote, "If you market this too early, you will hurt the industry, not help it," end of quotation. We reached out to EHVB for comment and extended an invitation to be a part of this program, but got no response. However, Rob Holmland at the City of Eureka did give us his take on this question in the context of not just tourism, but business development in general.
Marketing is more than just drawing people to a place. It's about telling the world about who you are. We can use the exact same marketing materials to attract new businesses here as we can to attract families here for vacation. So it's not uncommon for pretty big companies to call me from Southern California, say, "Our company's doing great. We're looking to open a new branch in Northern California. Why should I come to Eureka?" Up to this point, we have not had good marketing materials that I can use to help recruit businesses to consider relocating here or to expanding here. So part of it is that. And so when we look at cannabis as not having an infrastructure here, it is a part of our culture, right? It is part of who we are. And so that's part of marketing Eureka, right? We are people that have a logging legacy. There are tribal people here. We have a bay, there are redwoods, and we have a legacy of cannabis. It's part of our story. And so to some degree, that is, doesn't matter what the physical infrastructure is, it's just part of our cultural history. Then when it comes to the actual physical infrastructure, there are a number of dispensaries and more opening by the day. We have nearly 40 manufacturing businesses in Eureka. They're right now totally legal, all approved and reviewed by the police department, fire department. We've had a lot of involvement in making sure that all these cannabis businesses are legal and safe, but they're really under the radar as far as the public view goes. So I don't think most people realize how many cannabis manufacturing businesses are operating in Eureka. If those cannabis manufacturing businesses chose to do what the Lost Coast Brewery or Dick Taylor Chocolates does and allow tours of their facilities, that could be several days worth of tourist experience in Eureka alone. There are thousands of permitted farms in the county, and there are a couple of companies that do farm tours. And so that infrastructure already exists. So between manufacturing companies that would do tours, farms that would do tours, and dispensaries, I'd say we have quite a bit of infrastructure for people to visit.
Now to Eureka City Councilman Austin Allison, who is similarly optimistic that our infrastructure can handle cannabis tourism.
You know, as other places have fine dining, things like that, nice hotels, we do have that stuff here. It just might not as be as corporate or wide open, but there's certainly the Eagle House or the Carter House for nice places to stay. But there's also, I believe, one business who already is doing cannabis tourism locally. I believe he spoke to the council meeting a few months ago talking about the RFP for new marketing for the city. And he said someone brought that question up themselves. You know, is Humboldt ready for such a thing? And that gentleman said, "Absolutely, I'm already doing it. You know, it's already there. I was invited last year to go and see a farm tour out in Willow Creek, and I got to have a beautiful time out in Willow Creek on the mountain. They had a farm-to-table lunch with all sorts of local products. They had all kinds of local cheeses and local meals, drinks, things like that. And, you know, you're just sitting in a garden full of cannabis while you're eating outside. It was beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, wow, I'd go check that out another time even. It was a really nice day out there. And so, you know, there are things set up like that right now. And I believe if there is more and more demand, then it would just grow naturally to support that demand.
Following on that, and related to infrastructure, is the issue of consumption, that is, a concern about cannabis tourists who come here but discover it difficult to find a good place to try the product they came here to sample. Well, it turns out there is a new Eureka ordinance aimed at addressing the consumption issue. Here again is Councilman Austin Allison.
What that ordinance will allow is people to have a safe place to consume. The consumption lounge will have an HVAC system that sort of scrubs the air, much like casinos do. So if people want to smoke a cigar at the casino, that air is going to be filtered and not be a complete nuisance to someone 20 feet away or something like that. Where, you know, it'll be a safe place to consume cannabis or eat cannabis as an edible or dinner, or even things like a spa where people can go to a spa setting and have, you know, like salves and things like that applied to their skin during massages or things like that. There's a few different options under that umbrella.
The issue of consumption of cannabis products once tourists are here comes up in lots of our discussions. But a big consideration for local businesses might be the cost of compliance with ordinances, rules, and regulations that would make consumption a possibility here. Here again is Eureka City Councilman Austin Allison.
A few businesses I'm aware of are interested in installing this sort of equipment into their business to allow such a thing. So, you know, the city, we're allowing it, but we're somewhat strict on the level of quality we want to see, such as, you know, there can't be odor outside the business. It needs to have good ventilation, good air filtration, so that it's not a complete bother to people inside either. We have some strict guidelines following that, and I think some of those HVAC systems are not cheap. Yeah. There's considerable investments, upwards of like $100,000.
But as Rob Holmland sees it, the issue of consumption is just one of a dozen or more cannabis issues that's being dealt with.
You know, it's funny, we talk about this a lot. You know, does cannabis and the legalization of cannabis and this whole new industry create new things that we've never had before, or is it more of the same? And part of me wants to say, you know, we've got laws in Eureka that allow for mercury smelting, and we have laws that allow for gunpowder manufacturing, right? And so we have a legacy in this country and, you know, in California, of doing a lot of pretty heavy, intense manufacturing processes that are far more dangerous than the manufacturing of cannabis. And yet we are so cautious to allow volatile manufacturing of cannabis. And even internally, we've come up with rules that we require of cannabis manufacturers that we would never require of somebody that was smelting mercury. And so, you know, is it new? It's new, and so we're approaching it cautiously, and I think we're doing the right thing. But at some point, I imagine we will treat cannabis manufacturing the same way we treat brewing. And one of the unique approaches we took in Eureka is not to treat cannabis just as one thing. We treat it as 12 different things. So we have volatile manufacturing, non-volatile manufacturing, testing, retail, on-site consumption, off-site consumption. So there's 12 different categories. And then instead of treating those 12 different categories as just 12 things of cannabis, we relate them to the thing that they're closest to. So volatile cannabis manufacturing is very similar to volatile lavender manufacturing. So there's companies that take lavender plants and make lavender oil, and right, and so it can go into all kinds of different products. That's very common. And so we treat the 12 types of cannabis businesses similar to their equivalents that already existed for decades in Eureka. So is it new? Yes. Is it the same? Yes.
We're nowhere near done with this discussion. On the way, branding and the possibility of federal legalization of cannabis. Before a break, though, a cannabis calendar minute. If you're in the cannabis industry or just interested in it, here are a few events going on soon that you might like to know about.
Welcome to this month's edition of the Cannabis Calendar, brought to you by the Humboldt Chronicles. The calendar features information on upcoming cannabis-related conferences and events that take place within a day's drive of Humboldt County. High Times Magazine is presenting Dope Cup High Desert on March 23rd and 24th in Adelanto, California, near Los Angeles. Featuring musical performances from Waka Flocka Flame, Soulja Boy, Pell, and others, the event also promises to leave the expected 12,000-plus attendees with, quote, a wealth of experiential knowledge of the emerging cannabis space and an experience that will stay with them for a lifetime, unquote. Find out more at CannabisCup.com. The Flower Co. 10K Pitch Competition will happen on the evening of March 28th in the Intermission in San Francisco. The competition will feature industry leaders as judges, and the winner will take home a $10,000 prize along with incubation and support to launch the product or service to Flower Co. members across California. Details at eventbrite.com. Finally, featuring a 70,000-square-foot expo floor, Cannabis Conference 2019 takes place at the Westgate Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, April 1st through the 3rd. The conference promises in-depth educational programming on cannabis cultivation and business operations, as well as industry perspectives on retail management and customer engagement. The Cannabis Conference Exhibition Hall will feature industry-leading technologies, solutions, and services for the professional cannabis cultivator and retail businesses. More information at CannabisConference.com. If you'd like to have your event listed on the cannabis calendar, email us the details at studio@humboldtchronicles.com.
You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. If you're just joining us this hour, we're talking about cannabis tourism and following threads that dangle from that larger issue. The word we've heard from multiple guests on this show over the last couple of years, branding, the Humboldt brand. It's all about the story that's told or not told. Once a reputation is built, of course, it has to be maintained to remain relevant and on the collective mind. Further, you can make the case that legalization makes branding ever more important, given the increase in competition that legality fosters.
I think that's why it's important there are community members or industry leaders continuing to advocate and promote for the Humboldt brand. I think that's important to keep that name recognition alive, especially if we're talking about tourism, because branding is very important for getting people to come to an area or promote a product.
Since statewide legalization, we've often heard our Humboldt County cannabis adventure compared to the Napa County wine adventure. Here's Eureka's Director of Development Services, Rob Holman, picking up on that thought with regard to branding.
From what I understand in the research that I've done, Napa County is known for wine throughout the world. People go to Napa County to experience wine. California produces the vast majority of the wine produced in the United States. It was somewhere around like 70 or 80% of all the wine produced in the United States is produced just in California. And yet only 4% of California's wine comes out of Napa. Despite the fact that only 4% of California's wine comes out of Napa, they have the reputation and they have the tourism industry that no other county has because they've done an excellent job of marketing themselves. So Humboldt County doesn't need to be the top manufacturer or producer or cultivator of cannabis for us to benefit from the reputation that we have. If we can follow Napa's lead with wine and have only 4% of the cannabis produced in California produced in Humboldt County, we can still be a major tourist attraction and utilize our legacy to build upon. We need to do a really good job of marketing Redwoods. We need to do a great job of marketing Humboldt Bay, our zoo and the upcoming canopy walk there, Old Town, our historic buildings, and cannabis. And it's all part of our story, and we need to treat all of those parts as opportunities to market.
We also asked Rob Holman about federal legalization, which, of course, would usher in a whole new round of transition for our area. In fact, some see federal legalization as a double-edged sword. Certainly, it would be a whole new frontier. Here again, Rob Holmland.
Federal legalization, I think, at this point, it seems inevitable. It's just a matter of time. Will it be 2 years or will it be 12? Will it be 20? I don't know, but it seems like it's inevitable at some point in the future. And how would it impact Humboldt County and Eureka? It would be both a remarkable opportunity and it would expand our competition. So right now, if there is someone in Missouri that is interested in cannabis tourism, they're going to look to a handful of states. Once it's federally legal, they won't necessarily have to look to numerous states that could look much closer to home. But on the other hand, we have the benefit of having a long cultural legacy of cannabis here that has a national or international reputation that we can build upon and market and expand. I would say that we have so much more to offer than just cannabis, so I would never want us to be just a cannabis region. We have so many things to offer, but it definitely can and should be a part of our story.
All this talk about marketing and tourism may have an inadvertent but positive impact here locally. Rob Homlin explains.
I'd say another major goal of all of this marketing is to help the people of Eureka and Humboldt County love Eureka more, right? So we need to utilize all of this marketing that we're coming up with to tell our story to ourselves and to eliminate that negative self-perception that a lot of people have and dwell upon. There's this bad habit in Eureka and in Humboldt County of trashing Eureka and talking bad about it and, you know, pointing out its flaws instead of pointing out its benefits. And so we need to utilize our resources in marketing, not only to tell our story to the people of the world, but to tell our story to ourselves.
That was Rob Homlin of the City of Eureka, and what a great lesson that is for all of us not to take for granted all the great things about this area and to stop trash talking Eureka. Larry, did you learn anything?
I did. In fact, it was really interesting talking to both Austin and Rob this past week. And one of the things, the way that Rob closed his interview right there, talking about how this can also serve the benefit of reminding us what a great place we live in, I was really taken by how much things seem improved in Eureka over like the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's new restaurants opening up, new stores are coming in.
Galleries, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's all kinds of new public art in Eureka. And it does really feel like there's a lot of momentum and change over even just the last 5 years. I know that the numbers, there's no hard and fast numbers, but I kind of feel like there probably is already something of a cannabis tourist industry already, even before we roll out the new marketing plan.
Interesting you mentioned that, because just today I was talking to somebody in the cannabis industry here in Humboldt who said that she had just spoken with a couple of tourists from the East Coast who were here looking around at the whole Humboldt scene. So there are tourists already here, and I don't know how many. I'm not even sure the city of Eureka and Humboldt County knows exactly how many yet. But it does speak to the fact that we have something going here, and there is at least some infrastructure that's here for cannabis tourism that seems to be working. Doesn't mean we couldn't make it better to attract more people, and we should, because with the amount of potential money out there, why would you not go after it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that was one of the points that was made by some of the folks who thought it was maybe too early to really start marketing cannabis tourism in Humboldt County, that we didn't have the infrastructure to support a full cannabis tourism industry. Mm-hmm. And there are parts of that sort of ring true to me. I mean, we heard during a lot of these interviews the analogy to Napa.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this. Now, I mean, there are obviously a lot of wineries in Napa and Sonoma County, and if you love doing the wine tour, there are plenty of those things to do. But for people who aren't that into wine, or at least that's not their thing, there's still a whole ton of things to do in Napa and Sonoma. I mean, really high-end restaurants, there's the balloon rides, you know, there are these springs, the hot springs, there are nature trails, there's all kinds of stuff. And I think if you compare the tourism infrastructure in Napa and Sonoma to Humboldt County, you could make the point that we don't have that level of infrastructure up here. So, and that seemed to me a reasonable point. Now, whether that means that we're not ready to even begin marketing tourism, I'm not anywhere near knowledgeable enough to say.
Yeah. I think that we should go full bore into it. And here's why. I think we know, as some of our guests have said on this show before, that federal legalization is probably inevitable. We don't have a timetable for it, but it's probably inevitable. I think the more practice we get at marketing ourselves to tourists now, before federal legalization, we'll be better at it. We'll know what messages seem to work for us and what messages don't. And we will know by monitoring who responds and who comes here exactly what they are looking for and what they like, what they don't like, and so on. And so I think maybe if we get started now with it, maybe we can refine it somewhat before federal legalization, and we'll be a step ahead of the game by then. I don't know. I mean, that would just be my, off the top of my head, my first take on it, I think.
I think that's a good point. And it reminds me of what Rob Homlin was talking about in terms of what he saw as the market. And he was mm-hmm. talking about millennials.
Yes.
With the idea being that we're not marketing. We are marketing for the people who we want to come next week, but we also need to think mm-hmm. about the people who are going to be coming here 5 and 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And start making plans and preparations for that now, because we're not talking about something that's, you know, immediate.
Yeah.
You know, this whole marketing plan takes a while, and you've got to look down the road.
Yeah.
And that's where you lay your plans.
So. And millennials now, the largest generation out there.
Which I didn't know when he mentioned that. I didn't know that they were bigger than the boomers.
Eclipsing the baby boomers. Yeah. Wow. Why would you not be marketing to that group? You have to. You know, the folks who are on the other side do make the point. The one thing you don't want to do is get people here and then they don't have a good time. They go back and tell everybody they know, oh, there's not much there, don't go, and so on. But, you know, I think for the people who would be coming up here anyway, maybe that's not such a thing to worry about as much. Doesn't mean we can't improve the tourist infrastructure here, but I think a lot of people who would be looking for some of the glitz and glamour along with cannabis tourism are going to stay in San Francisco or Los Angeles. People who are looking for other things might want to venture outside the urban areas and come up here and combine the cannabis tourism with hikes in the redwoods or strolls along the beach or whatever.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, if the Los Angeles experience is what you're looking for,
then you're going to go to Los Angeles.
You're going to go to LA, right? And as Austin Allison pointed out, and I thought he made a good point, that if as a tourism market develops and as more and more people come here, the infrastructure will naturally grow out to accommodate it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you're it's a bit of a chicken and egg kind of thing, but once people start coming here, the facilities will grow to meet the demand.
Yeah, we'll learn exactly what people are looking for and what we do well and what we don't do well. And, you know, we can learn from that, hopefully.
I would hope.
We want to thank our guests, Eureka City Councilman Austin Allison and Eureka Department of Development Services Director Rob Homlin. I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. This edition of the Humboldt Chronicles will be posted soon at 941lounge.com, lostcoastoutpost.com, and at iTunes for listening and downloading. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by Humboldt Patient Resource Center, Eco Groovy Deals, Sonoma Lab Works, and the Humboldt County Collective. Some sound in this program courtesy of the CBC and the University of Waterloo. We'll be back with the Humboldt Chronicles at 6 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month, so we'll see you next time on April 17th at 6 p.m.